Now, the Talk of the Nation opinion page. It's often been said that religion and politics don't mix, but when it comes to abortion, it can be tough to separate the two. Many who oppose abortion believe strongly that it's murder and clearly falls within the scope of biblical prescriptions. Gary Wills disagrees. In an op-ed in yesterday's Los Angeles Times, he argues that abortion is not a theological matter at all. Religion, he wrote, has nothing to say on the issue of abortion. He'll explain in just a moment. What, if anything, does your religion have to say about abortion, and is this a religious issue? 800-989-8255. You can also reach us by email. That's talk@npr.org. Gary Wills' most recent book is called Head and Heart, American Christianities. He joins us today from a studio at Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois. Nice to have you back on the program.
Great to be here.
And you write in the op-ed piece, much of the debate over abortion is based on a misconception. And what is that?
The misconception is that it is a religious issue, and that's unnecessarily divisive. It means that those who oppose abortion think they have the whole of their religious tradition behind them, and they think that those who support it under certain conditions are anti-religion, anti-God, anti-the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible has nothing to say in favor of the opposition to abortion. In fact, it has very little to say about abortion, probably only one thing, which Numbers 5:21 says that you can use an abortifacient. Otherwise, in the Jewish scripture, in the Ten Commandments, in the Christian scripture, in the Sermon on the Mount, in the early Christian creeds, in the early Christian councils, there's nothing about abortion. The popes themselves have said over and over down the years, it's a matter of natural law. Now, natural law falls under the adjudication of natural reason. John Henry Newman, the Catholic cardinal in England, said the Pope's jurisdiction is over revelation, not over nature. He has no jurisdiction over nature. So if you have to decide in terms of natural law, you turn to natural reason, to people who have good information and good intentions, and see what they have to say, embryologists, neurophysicists, philosophers, and you find that they have a divided council. There are good arguments to be made on various aspects of this. So a kind of religious certitude is unnecessarily divisive. It means that in this most religious country in the developed Western world, although two-thirds of the people have over decades regularly said that they want abortion to be safe, legal, and rare, one-third takes that to be an attack on their God, which is not a healthy situation.
Now, you say the Bible has nothing to say about this, but if you consider abortion murder, you don't have to go further than the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill.
Right. You should not murder. Murder is the killing of a person. The question is the fetus a person, and when? It's not by definition a person, and the Catholic Church and others didn't consider it to be that down through the ages. Thomas Aquinas, who is the most influential teacher on natural law and other matters, said that the fetus begins as a vegetable form of animation and then becomes an animal form of animation, and then at the very end God infuses a soul, because he didn't want material causes to produce a spiritual product. So people can differ on this matter without having to invoke religion, and especially without invoking the Bible, which has nothing to say about it.
Mm-hmm. Yet people base their opposition to abortion very firmly on what they regard as religious instruction.
That's right. They say because a religious authority, whether it's the Pope or a pastor or an evangelical congregation or group, says it, it's religious. But that's not necessarily the case, of course. You have to have a religious argument and sanction to make a religious case. And they, just because they have a religious role, a religious office, that doesn't mean that what they say is, in all cases, a theological matter. It's not. It's a matter of natural law.
And though you've said the Pope has been on, the popes have been on various sides of this issue over the years, in recent years there's been no debate on which side of the issue the Pope is on.
No, but the idea that conception begins, that life begins at conception, that human life, that personhood does, the popes have said, but that's a scientific matter. They don't know when human personality begins. Human life has many forms. The ejaculated semen is human life. The ovulated ovum is human life. We don't have to preserve those. When they join together, two-thirds of those are not going to survive because they don't embed themselves in the womb wall. And when they have embedded themselves for a long time, for 6 months or so, there is no central nervous cortex that unites what they're undergoing, what they're feeling. Is all of that human? It's all human life, of course, but is it personhood? On that, people of good intention, good information, differ.
Our guest is Gary Wills. He's the author, most recently, of an op-ed piece, Abortion is Not a Religious Issue, that was published in yesterday's editions of the Los Angeles Times. You can read the op-ed through a link on our blog. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. If you'd like to join the conversation, our number is 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And let's see if we can start with, let's start with Hope. Hope is with us from... Where in Iowa are you? Algona?
Algona, Iowa.
I've not heard of that, but go ahead, please.
Small town, Iowa. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to comment that the gentleman has mentioned about the idea of natural law. And while natural law doesn't specifically apply to, you know, Christian theology as written in the Bible or Jewish theology as written in the Torah, it's still one step toward acknowledging that, you know, by looking at nature around us, we acknowledge that we are people of a created being, that things have been created and not by us. Thus saying that by acknowledging that things have been made by something and we too have been made by something, it's a step to acknowledge that theologically, yes, as created beings, we are creation and not something that can then go and justify the aborting of things that do not belong to us, mm-hmm. rather a creator.
Well, all of creation does not belong to us, but we don't say that, therefore, we cannot kill the grass, kill our hair, kill mm-hmm. all kinds of things that are parts of creation.
Oh, I disagree.
The question is, what is the status of the fetus? It's not, and on that, there is no theological answer.
Yeah, true, but as a woman who has had three children, I can say that in a state of my being pregnant and wanting that child, I easily and very openly acknowledge it to be a baby by the time I realize that I'm pregnant. And I know of no woman who is chosen or has been trained to use this terminology of fetus when she is holding in her womb a child that she wants.
Mm-hmm.
Automatically, that child turns into a fetus immediately when we want to deny or not acknowledge that that is something that has been created. And I think that goes exactly against natural law, because inside us as humans, we want to adopt that thing that is not yet with us. And we're trying to train ourselves to do something otherwise by acknowledging, oh, it's not a baby, it's not a baby. Well, find me a woman out there who's not talking about her baby inside her.
Well, there are millions of abortions and
thousands
in America, and they obviously don't want their fetus. And as a matter of fact, there are more Catholic abortions proportionally than Protestant. So the idea that everybody automatically feels it's a baby is not true. It's simply not true.
I wholly disagree. And I believe that those people who have had those abortions, sadly, and, you know, look at the politicians during this whole round of debates and whatnot. We're not really having abortion as an issue, but every politician has really tried to talk about how it is a tragedy. Well, us as humans, as created beings, really feel the sadness of an abortion. No one's going out saying, I really had a great time with that abortion, and I would encourage you to do the same thing.
And I don't think don't think anybody would say that. But
no.
Gary Wills' point in his piece is this is not a religious issue. It's not addressed in the Bible. Should we debate it as a religious issue?
Yes, I believe we should debate it as a religious issue, but I do not think that religious people should corner the market on trying to encourage people to choose life. It is a creator, it's an idea of creation, and every one of us, whether we believe in a higher being or not, should acknowledge that natural law, as you argue, and say that as created beings, we have been created, we create children, but ultimately it is not a possession, rather it is something that is part of natural life and thus should be embraced and not pushed aside as something that we can decide to either keep or terminate.
Hope, thanks very much for the phone call.
Thanks very much for having me on.
Okay, thanks very much. We're talking with Gary Wills on the opinion page this week. Again, he's written an op-ed that was published in yesterday's Los Angeles Times arguing that abortion is not a religious issue, if you'd like to join the conversation. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation, which is coming to you from NPR News. And let's get Kathleen on the line. Kathleen with us from Valdosta in Georgia.
Hi. I would just like to say that I do not think that this is a religious issue at all. Nowhere, you know, I mean, there's so little documentation on it. I just don't think that I don't want the Pope in my bedroom any more than I want the President in my bedroom. I just feel that it's not something that the religious factions should be making a choice about. It's something that women should be making a choice about for themselves.
Mm-hmm. That's a point that Gary Wills addresses in his piece. If religion has no say over who and when there should be an abortion, who does, Gary Wills?
Well, we have the testimony of a number of experts that by the third trimester, the cortex is working, and this being within the womb does sense itself as a single thing. It's not making just random notions. And 99% of the abortions occur before that point. After that point, it's very difficult to justify an abortion. On the other hand, other people say that if the woman's life is in danger or certain other things come into play, even religious people say that, then an exception should be made. The point is, if religious authorities can't tell us, and if the state can't tell us, who can tell us? With most education and information, the final choice, it seems to me, has to be the woman's, because she's the closest to the situation. She's the one we should try to argue with, for our point of view, whether it's for or against abortion. But to impose a religious authority on her, or even a state authority, other than at the very end of the process, when the fact that a human being is pretty clearly at risk, is not wise. So I think that the majority of abortions occur well before that point, and the woman's choice, I think, should be the one that's applicable, because the others don't have really standing.
Thanks very much for the call, Kathleen.
Thank you.
So long. Let's see if we can go now to, this is Prince. Prince with us from Sacramento.
Hi.
Hi there.
I was just slightly confused. I'm 24, college student. I'm not, you know, the most educated person in the Bible, but I know in my reading of the Hebrew Scriptures that it definitely does make mention of the principles of, like, how abortion's bad. And in the sense of, like,
where does it say
murder,
that?
If you murder a woman who has a fetus, then even if the woman doesn't die and the fetus dies, the person can still be tried as murder. So I'm like, isn't that, at least aren't there principles in the Bible on abortion and the how God feels negatively towards it?
No, there's not. You're referring to Exodus 21:22. Murder is not ever mentioned. It says that if a woman is assaulted and her baby miscarries, her fetus miscarries, whatever miscarries, that the husband can exact a fee from the assailant because he's been deprived of an heir. Remember, this is a patriarchal society that thinks always in those terms. It says nothing about the status of the fetus or about murder. If it were murder, then the assailant would have to be executed. Mm-hmm. So, no, the Bible says nothing about abortion in that sense.
We have thanks very much, Prince, for the call. This from George in Penacook, New Hampshire. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. George's interpretation is God knew of Jeremiah before he was formed. Many of that take us to mean that the spirit is created at the moment of conception, and then when a child is voluntarily aborted, it's the taking of a human life.
The God foreknew everything about us before we existed, as well as when we were in the womb. And the Psalm 139 says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. So the whole creation process, God knows everything about what we're going to turn out to be. It has nothing precisely to say about the status of the fetus in the womb.
And when that fetus becomes a person or a human being, which you argue is roughly at the stage of vitality.
Well, that's what a lot of people argue. I think that there are good arguments for and against, and that the woman should decide.
And that among these arguments should not be, it is banned by the Bible.
Right.
Okay. Gary Wills, thanks very much for coming in today. We appreciate your time.
Good to be here.
Gary Wills is Professor Emeritus of History at Northwestern University. His most recent book is called Head and Heart, American Christianities. You can read his op-ed, Abortion Isn't a Religious Issue, through a link on our blog that's at npr.org/blog of the nation. He joined us today from a studio on the campus of Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.